Welcome to Microsoft's Insurance Corner with your presenters, Heather Haley, Insurance Account CTO at Microsoft.
And I'm Steve Walker, Cloud and AI Platform Specialist at Microsoft. With this series, we aim to cut through the noise to bring you practical insights on the Microsoft technologies reshaping the UK insurance sector. From agentic AI to data platforms, developer experience, security, and the future of underwriting and claims.
This series is designed to give leaders and practitioners clear, actionable perspectives you can take straight back into your organization. No hype, just real conversation, expertise, and a real value. Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's discussion.
And Heather, today, in person, once again, we were joined with Jonathan Ball, or JB for short. We benefit from his wonderful expertise on our patch of customers here, but yeah, solution engineer in the data space.
Yes, and absolutely. I think he came fresh from a customer workshop talking about all things data agents, data platforms. So he was ready to jump right in.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate this. We're not really caught up much outside of work, but his expertise and experience that he's got, both on customer side, working in the Lloyd's of London and the London market, and again, in the consultancy background.
Well, I actually did have a small appreciation for his history, because I remember jumping on a customer call with a personal lines insurer. It was with the full data team, including CDO. And they were all like, "Hi, JB. Lovely to see you again."
Reunion.
It's absolutely a reunion. And then we jumped straight into data agents, like future data platforms. And yeah, it was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I love this episode. It was great to see him, or to hear him, demystify our Microsoft 3IQ. So I think listeners will get a lot of value from today's episode, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to admit, because they're talked about as the Microsoft intelligence layer. So unpicking what that means from a platform perspective, how it underpins, intelligent AI. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. Should we get into it?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Today's guest is Jonathan Ball. Jonathan, welcome to Insurance Corner.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
You are very welcome. Do you want to take just a couple of minutes to introduce yourself and say hi to everyone?
Yeah, super. I guess where to start, really. My background is a bit of insurance industry, a bit of wealth management, consulting, technology. Worked on the Microsoft stack for a long, long time, as I think kind of, the white beard probably attests to that. But it has been 10 years at Microsoft with a split in between, where I spent a couple of years working at a wealth management firm, building out their data strategy, quite a greenfield approach there. So it was very much kind of go in, help them get things set, build out what they wanted to do over the next 3 to 5 years, help them with the technology, help them with the processes. And before that, as I said, kind of Microsoft for a long while, doing support roles a little bit here and there, pre-sales, but all from kind of technical perspective, mainly on the data side of things. I worked in kind of other parts of the org as well, as I said, kind of on mainly data technologies, but a little bit around things like Power Platform dynamics and stuff like that as well. And before I joined Microsoft, I think it was about 5-6 years at Lloyd's of London as a architect in there, BI, enterprise data architect, leading dev teams, again helping strategy and actually delivering products and stuff like that. And before that, I kind of started my career in consulting, as a lot of people do, helping customers, as I said, kind of Microsoft technology predominantly, but other big data technologies, Hadoop, operational systems, biz apps, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Got a very strong career history. It's great.
Thanks.
We had a brief call, didn't we, to brief on what would happen on this particular episode. I think there's a number of different ways we could have taken it. But what I'd heard very recently is you'd given probably one of the best descriptions of the Microsoft 3IQs. Mm. And I've heard you articulate it to a customer as well, with a story that weaves through all three of them. I just thought we would possibly start there. And what is your thoughts on when we announce the IQs and how we demystify those for customers? And, is it correct to say they could be confusing? And
I think so.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see whether customers have kind of heard a little bit about it, or whether or not they've looked at it holistically, or as kind of you said there, it is three independent IQs. Dive a little bit into what that actually means. But from a Microsoft perspective, we talk about Microsoft IQ, developing capabilities and semantic reasoning for agents, if you like, to understand the data layer, the app layer, the work layer, the productivity layer, that our technology suite kind of can deliver up to what historically would have been users trying to get at all of this stuff, but now the users using an agent to get at all of these as well. So it's very much three, if you like, technical capability areas. So if you start on one side with what we call the work IQ, moving all the way through to the fabric IQ, and then on, maybe not on the other end, but the third one in that spectrum of foundry IQ, all with different capabilities as we talked about there, but all delivering that semantic layer, if you like, so that an agent can be built on top of one of them or potentially all three of them in the future as it kind of improves and gets better. But the work IQ is very much delivering that intelligence and linking up of our productivity tools, if you want to think of them that way. Historically, we always spoke about them like that. We talk about things like, your email, linking that up with maybe something in D365 Dynamics. You know, what do I mean there? Like, I mean, our CRM capabilities and ERP, finance and operations, those type of tools. An email comes in, it gets maybe delivered into one of those as well, or it doesn't. You've got emails that are around the subject. If you start using Work IQ on top of that, it starts to join them up for you. It builds those links. It builds that reasoning and things that it will remember. It will get better at doing that. Then you move into what we call Fabric IQ, and we're really talking about the data brain for your organization. So actually bringing business knowledge to your data. Historically, if you've used Microsoft tools like Power BI, you've got a thing called a semantic model there that actually underpins your reports, your dashboards on top of your data. This is kind of the next stage on from that, but building it in a graph capability, if you want to talk about the other kind of underlying technologies, building it up. Again, those links, those relationships between things like claims data, policy data, customer data, how do all of those things join together? You can build a model so that an agent can then talk to that layer, which almost acts as kind of an obfuscation layer in between, so that the actual business data is put in a structure that it will be able to talk to it. And the next day when it talks to it, it knows the same thing. It doesn't have to go and relearn all of those as well. That is kind of the ideal for actually building that on top in Fabric, on top of the different data sources. So if you've got data warehouses, you've got data lakes, you've got real-time information coming in, flowing into, obviously in this case, Fabric, but other technologies as well, you can integrate in with other data sources. You build that reasoning so that an agent will be able to talk to it. And as I say, just come back to the same thing and get similar similar answers to the questions that you're asking day to day. The next one on from that, and they do all join together because you can see they're doing different kind of capabilities, is when you move into Foundry, you actually start building more bespoke agents. You take advantage of the, I don't know, what is it, 10,000 models that are available to you in kind of Azure and stuff like that. So take the best of breed model for what it is that you're actually doing. You build the IQ in there so that it can talk to maybe the disparate sources. So it can talk to SharePoint, it can talk to your knowledge bases that exist out in the enterprise, so other data sources that maybe haven't been curated as much, so your search capabilities in Foundry. The agents then become, again, immeasurably cleverer, if you like. That's a bad word to use, but the intelligence, the semantics is built into those IQ layers. So much with Fabric, where you'd build the semantic layer, or an ontology, as we call it, you can build some of those capabilities in Foundry that are talking to more disparate systems, maybe a separate web app or something like that as well. Eventually, with kind of all of the agent frameworks that we have to put them all together, you're going to get the best from your work IQ, which is, the day-to-day runnings of what you do. So it's more personalized to you because it's taken from your emails, taking from your CRM connections, taking from those other sources, maybe even things like SharePoint, linking into those eventually. Joining that up with the very curated data that you've got in Fabric, so that business data brain that we talked about, joining up with Foundry so that you can maybe build more actions off it. There's a knowledge base that's got policy information. So an email has come in your CRM system, you join that up with some of the historical data in Fabric, and then within Foundry, you've got actions off the back of that because the policy says to deal with a claim or a new policy in this particular way, and it's been able to interrogate that going forwards. So that was a lot of stuff, a lot of talking there, but yeah, you see the, you've almost got a workflow of IQs there to help support agents and kind of that AI capability going forwards, whether it be more bespoke in Foundry or even agents through kind of Copilot, depending on what your pane of glass, what it is that you use as a workbench, those sort of things.
If you've liked any of the episodes we've created, if any of the guests have inspired you, or simply if Heather and I have made you smile in any way, we would be eternally grateful if you could leave us a review wherever you download your podcast from. It really does help us out. Thank you. And now back to the show.
Love that. I think my perspective on this is where insurance organizations think of their data as their IP. Mm. The fact 100%. That it sounds very much like these IQs are bringing that to life on their behalf.
Yeah.
So rather than having, to your point, I know it's a common question with customers around buy versus build, you know, bringing in, you know, third party SaaS solutions to do claims or fraud or some of this goodness. There's definitely always the debate moment of, you know, do we use our own IP? Do we start piecing together our own systems to actually build something really intelligent? It sounds like this sort of intelligence layer we're building out is very much going to be quite foundational in actually creating, or sort of for customers to start thinking about creating like this IP or utilizing this IP in a really powerful way.
Yeah, I think you've got a bit of both in, because you've got the three different IQs, you've got a bit of both there. So the work IQ, if you start joining up your email, you just start joining it up with CRM, the other signals that you've got coming in, that's very personalized to you as a worker, if that's the right term. Then you join that up with the Fabric where it's the business definition of what's going on. You know, that is, as you said, yeah, do you build, do you buy? Well, it is your IP. This is where you should absolutely be kind of taking charge of what you want your data to represent. That is, again, I think I read the business data brain. That's a really good way of putting it. Right. And building that into that ontology. I think what you'll find is that the way that the Foundry, and this is just personal opinion, the Foundry IQ is there to be that more joining in with maybe knowledge bases that is existing already. So yeah, do you build, do you buy? I'd imagine we'll get to the point where a lot of third parties and vendors and stuff like that will make their IQ equivalent, so available, so that it can be joined up with the Copilot, something like that as well. That's my kind of theory on the way that will go. But build and buy your own IP, in my opinion, the kind of data brain there in the middle of that is going to be kind of invaluable. Obviously, speaking from a data engineer perspective, that's clearly where I'm going to go. But building some of it out and owning that IP is incredibly important.
You've talked about the semantic layer and the ontology within an organization. In insurance, how important is that? I mean, this, being able for a model to be able to speak the language internally, I can imagine that must be vital.
Yeah, I think that's the... For me, it's the key place to get started is what are your data products? What do they define? You know, if you've got a data science team and they're producing pricing models and things like that, fraud detection, bits and pieces that might exist in isolation at the moment, if you start to join those up together, and what effect does that model have on that one? How do we combine those? That's what I'm thinking of there. The semantic model, when we talk about it from an ontology for AI, is probably more geared towards the business defining what that is rather than it being a data product, if you like. The business needs to come in and say, claims talks to policy, talks to customer, talks to our fraud detection sitting in the middle of all of that. So yes, joining those all up is going to be incredibly important. That needs to be done on clean data sets and heavily, not heavily curated, but well curated and heavily governed data that has been approved. Going back to your point, Heather, about this is their IP, this is 100%, you know, pricing models, fraud detection, that's how they make their money, that's how they protect their money and protect the investments and stuff like that as well. So you need to have your data well curated, structured, and well defined within the business so that that ontology can, if you build kind of what the business relationships are, you can then also point it at a data product underneath there as well. So we know that that's the defining report on our pricing model, or that's the defining report there on the customer and their profitability, whatever that may be. Join those things up underneath the ontology so that the agent can go in and ask the same questions. The way that I look at it is, if you get in a new top analyst and you present them with a data set, it's going to take them ages to work out what that is. They're going to be writing down loads of information. Wouldn't it be better if that was defined before they came in? It's exactly the same thing with an agent. If you throw a load of data at them, they'll come back with an answer. Unless you've defined some of the key metrics, positions, actually what it means beforehand, they're going to be no kind of wiser than me, you, any of us.
That's a fantastic analogy, actually. That's helped me understand it a lot better, I'd say. I guess this sounds, from my perspective, happily to be corrected, like quite a nirvana future state, as it were. Or do you think, you know, I know, for example, a lot of my customers are going to ask, you know, what does it mean for us? Where do we have to go through a big, you know, data cleanliness? Do we have to go through a huge sort of like data program of work so we feel that all those data sources are curated?
Yeah.
Or is this candidly technology that they can be taking advantage, that brain can start thinking, adding intelligence today for them?
I think it's a combination of both. I'd say if you haven't started doing that data project already, then you need to get started on it anyway. That's right. Absolutely the point. You know, that's a key foundation for it, is knowing what your data actually is, how cleanliness, data quality, data products, as we talked about. That's a kind of one ticket item there to get started with. On the other hand, you know, the work IQ, if you're heavily invested in kind of the Microsoft technologies around productivity, around email, around CRMs and things like that, as well, not necessarily using Dynamics, if you can kind of start taking that information in the same way and joining that up, that's key. But that's very much on the user side of things, as opposed to a big program of data cleansing and things like that. On the other side of it, your AI and agentic framework is going to be key there as well. So there's a few things that, if you haven't got started, data cleansing, data products, actually data stewardship, all of that stuff, which a lot of my customers are very mature and so have done a lot of that, maybe in other technologies, which is absolutely fine. We're joining those things up as well. But actually just being aware of what the cleanliness of your data, the quality, the products that you've got, that's a key kind of foundational principle to getting good information out. Back to the point that if you get loads of workers in and your data's a mess, it's going to take them ages to actually understand it. You're going to have to go through that process. You put an agent on top of it, they're going to have to go through that process. You ask the same question of the agent several days in a row without cleansed, curated data, that's when you get things like hallucination coming in. And
you have to get a different response every time.
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, we ask for kind of deterministic results on these things. If you ask a similar question every day, but your data does change anyway, you would expect to get a slightly different result, I think. If you haven't prepared an agent to talk to the data and any kind of underlying guidance and principles for it to actually pick up on, it will probably kind of give you slightly different results, as most people do. You know, how the brain works for people, you can get different results on different days as well.
I guess a question for me as well, speaking to lots of data teams, definitely, again, questions around where to start. Mm. Obviously quite overwhelming. Everyone's now talking about AI and it feels like data tends to be a bit of a tag on or a secondary concern of, oh, we'll fix that later. Is sometimes what I'm hearing, not saying at all. That's the complete commonality. But would love to, based on the fact you put strategies together, where would you suggest, you know, organization start? Any tips, coaching would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it does depend where you are on the journey, is what I'd say. If you have a well-curated data library, data catalog, different organizations call them different names, but knowing what data you have available to you, where it is and what state it's in, is the key thing there. The data quality, data cleansing comes after you found out what data you actually have. But those are the grounding principles there, that if you're it's not a new kind of thing. AI is just probably grounding it out a little bit more, that if you have rubbish data going in, the same sort of thing's going to come out of the other end, no matter what kind of report analyst you put on top of it. Data engineering is a kind of key principle and is there for a reason now, is to get your data curated. But yeah, visibility of your data is a key thing as well. Knowing that it's well categorized and classified as well is important there. I think if you run the risk of making data available to AI that you wouldn't make available to your users, and then somebody can kind of access an agent that's been given permission to talk to something, make sure that you've got your security absolutely proof and very tight before you let an agent loose on top of it, because you do the same thing if you were letting a new employee or user analyst on it. Same things apply there.
Remember, you can get in touch with the show on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you with your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions for future episodes. Now back to the show.
How important are partners, would you say, an expert partner to come and do that? I guess you'll tell me that it varies based on where you are on the journey, but how important would you say an expert partner is?
Absolutely. My answer would have been it depends, because I'm a consultancy background there, but that's why you'd get a partner in to be able to answer the same thing there. I think having people that have done it before and can point out where those gotchas are, help you with the classification principles, you know, what sort of data should be really important as well. What sort of data should you be making available to the organization wider as well? The historical data silo is still an issue. From a technology standpoint, partners are fantastic because, you know, they do this. They've got the best guidance and best practice for bringing data together. But when they bring that data together, they have the guardrails, the guidance, the good governance processes that, you know, we as Microsoft try to kind of talk about and espouse as well. But the partners will come and actually do that from a delivery side of things. So really useful to have good partners involved and you know, if they've done it before, which most of them have, they can give you kind of the pain and help you out where it's most needed.
Yeah, it's the same thing with apps. It's the same thing with infra. If you don't understand or catalogue what you've got, how can you possibly look to modernise it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the app side of it's an interesting one as well, because from an IQ perspective, obviously you're building those ontology, you're building that layer in on top of all of your data. So from a work perspective, that's data captured for you and managed by the provider, if you like, us, Microsoft. The fabric side of things, the fabric data brain is building that up based on data sources that might be coming from additional places as well. So bringing all of that together so that you can talk and put it together. And then the Foundry point of view, do you put that back into your apps as well? You know, I think we talked briefly about what's the pane of glass for users actually accessing AI and agents and stuff like that as well. Do we start putting them back into the applications that have been bespoke applications? Certainly with a tool like, you know, if you look at our D365, you look at Copilot being integrated all over the place, do you start integrating your own agents into your apps as well? Be that out to a customer, be that internally, those things, if it's going to be customer facing, you know, all those things that we just talked about, governance, security, everything like that, double down on that, triple down, if not, that's the important thing. Make sure that none of your information is leaking out as well. That's a key point there.
Amazing. We've talked about getting data ready. I guess question for you is, where are you seeing customers doing some really bleeding edge innovation with data?
Yeah, it's very early days with the IQ side of things. I think for the insurance industry itself, you know, we've been working models for many, many years. As I say, I used to work at Lloyd's of London. There we had kind of Monte Carlo type models looking at the fund and getting that information. So we're advanced users. It's, you know, the machine learning, the data science teams, depends kind of what you call them. They're using the technology in advanced ways. There's big data technology. There's massive amounts of data to go into all of that as well. So just really taking advantage of the latest technology is where I see a lot of the customers going, so that it can be made available to everybody. I think that's the important thing kind of for now that we're starting to get kind of consistency in the kind of message around agents and AI being available to users, is actually now these agents can take advantage of some of the really advanced models and stuff and make those more available to other people as well. And when I say models, I don't just mean kind of the off-the-shelf models. I mean the advanced data science models that your data scientists have been putting together and using on top of fraud detection, on top of that pricing, claims and things like that. And then making those more available to the end user, the person that's talking to a customer at the same time, and getting all of this information available to them in a workbench, in a pane of glass, surfacing all of that. But again, that has to be done on very clean, curated data to make sure that they're not getting the wrong information back as well.
Have you seen anything interesting in the real-time analytics space at all in insurance?
It is an interesting one. I have some in some of my customers that you think about kind of the black box technology in cars, for example. So getting all of that massive amounts of data in really, really quickly. And it's a question of some of them have got great partners that deliver that for them. Now they're saying, well, we've got the technology and the capability to do that ourselves. It's like, and actually, again, we've got really experienced data scientists guys that do it. They've done some fantastic stuff on over there on our pricing and our fraud and everything. Actually want to start getting them on that journey as well. And that's going to be very much a get the data in really, really quickly so that, if claims come up, they're all on top of it straight away. So you combine it with other your data sources as well. There's still, technical challenges for getting that data in really quickly, storing it. It's lots of data, so there's cost obviously involved in that. That's always comes back to cost and getting actual value out of it. Back to the point that Heather made, do you build it, do you buy it? Well, I think we're getting a lot more experienced, mature, certainly my customers looking at it saying, actually, I can take care of that myself. I've got the RTI, I'm familiar with, I can get good people who know IoT technologies as well. So, the actual black box itself, we can just pay to license that technology and then bring it in ourselves and build up on our own IP of that information as well.
Or if you don't, you've got the right partners on the pitch.
100%.
Yeah. You've got the experience, they've done that before.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing there is we have a lot of partners, we have a lot of customers, and getting the right ones together is key there because, as I say, some of my customers are kind of, really up there with right on the bleeding edge of taking the data in, dealing with it, building the ontology, semantics, putting it back out, trying to integrate agents into it, whereas some of them aren't. Some of them are a lot earlier on that journey. And so, get the right partners in that have done it before.
I've certainly noticed from a data perspective and the conversations we're having, I've always felt that data very much sits in the technology stack. I think definitely with insurance, I'm seeing the divide between technology and business around the topic of data is really broken down. I'd love to know do you think that's new? Do you think it's sort of been, has been that way for a while?
It's an interesting one. I think the different names that you've got for different data teams, some of that up as well. Business intelligence team, does that sit in IT? Does that sit in the business? I've seen it both from those sides. I've sat in BI teams and tried to work out where I was supposed to be kind of pointing as well. I mean, I like technology, but I like to understand the business that I'm working in as well. And I think that's key for a lot of the customers, certainly a lot of my customers, they want to get the business involved there. Going back to the IQs, as I said, that data brain isn't necessarily going to come from IT. It's got to come from the business. They're the ones that know how a customer relates to a policy. A really simple example there, a customer relates to a policy and then what a claim comes in, how does that all join up? But in addition, when you've got kind of the brokers, the underwriters sitting, they're crunching data. That's what they're doing. That is what their job is. So they don't want to work in IT, clearly they're in the right place, but they want access to the technology. And vice versa, IT doesn't necessarily want to be defining what the business, what those ontologies are, so that you've got to get them together there in that perspective. And I think that the tooling certainly is, from Microsoft perspective, it's always geared towards getting the citizen developers, the citizen BI, whatever term you want to use, but getting those guys involved, getting the business involved, and getting them to actually write down what something should be. What is the relationship between these business objects, if you like? Careful using that term. But the data that sits underneath it, that, you know, that's a technical point to say, right, the customer is actually represented in our technical stack by these things. So a customer is made up of a table there, but it's also made up of a table over there and over there and over there and over there. So bring those things in. That's what a good data team should do. And that data team will most likely be very technical and will probably be sat within the IT organization, if that's true. But to do that without the business actually saying these are the way the relationship should actually work, then you're not going to get a true representation of the what is, will essentially be the ontology. So how does the business work? Even to the point where you might have different development teams looking after different applications as well. So when I say a customer means this in this table, it's represented by a customer ID. Over there, it's represented by person ID. Well, those simple things, somebody has to join those up. That's usually with the kind of data architects and the data modeling team. They should be getting that information of what the actual object is. So the customer, that should be coming from the business working with the data modeling team down to IT. So not sure if I answered the question right there, but essentially, there's so much data in different systems, somebody needs to be responsible for it as well. Is that going to be the business? Probably not, but it certainly needs to be done with their drive and focus.
If you had to sum up everything you've talked about for a customer or a company to be able to benefit from the Microsoft 3 IQs, what would be the one go-do or one focus area that you could say?
I think to talk to a customer about it, I think going back to them and saying, look, if you want an agent to take on some of the capabilities that you may have a customer doing now, and then go, sorry, not a customer, for your customers, but you may have an employee doing some of this now and you want to free up their time to do other stuff, or you want an agent to do new stuff, they have to understand what the business model is. And therefore, to do that, it goes back to making sure that your data is structured and you understand where that data is to start with. If you don't understand where your data gets processed, where it gets put into a nice data product, ideally, then there's no way AI or an agent is going to be able to do that.
Understood. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. Wanted to find you on social media, where's the best place to find you?
You could absolutely reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's predominantly where I kind of am available. Not really on any others at the moment. But
thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much. You've been fantastic.
No, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
So there we have it. Jonathan Ball. Heather, what did you think?
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, he's very good indeed. Yeah, I love the way he's got such a knack for explaining things and such an easy to understand concept as well. It's a great, when he was talking about, certainly with the work IQ stuff and how that flows nicely in and all three of them were joined up, connected. It was, very good indeed. It was a masterclass.
Absolutely. And I think what I'm hoping the listeners get from it is, as you said, the flow. So in our productivity suite, whether that's Teams, Outlook, Copilot, wherever they're working, being able to connect, an email talking about a certain category or a class of business, and then that being able to sort of like picked up into a flow of work and all that intelligence and how it will enrich processes such as claims and underwriting. I thought, hearing him describe it, I thought I could finally see through the weeds of how that would be really applicable for our insurance orgs.
Indeed, yeah. And again, underscoring the importance, we've said it so many times before, about how vital it is to have your data layer sorted out. And if you want to try and benefit from generative AI, you need to get the data estate in order first.
Yes, and actually that was probably one of my favorite analogies he talked about. And he used the example of you had a new employee starting in the organization, whether an analyst or whoever, if you give them bad data as part of their onboarding process, what hope is there for them achieving something fabulous? So I thought that, again, for me was a real light bulb moment of Of course, if we think about agents as part of your workforce, we think of agents as doing a task on behalf of your organization. If you haven't got that data sat there with all that IP, that goodness, everything about you as an industry, you're not setting them up for success at all.
You're not at all. No, we've said that time and time again, haven't we, about treating agents as if they are humans. And whether that means technically, whether you assign them sort of policies that come from Nagentra suite and all that kind of stuff, and whether it also means the way with the data in which you give them and the resources that they have at their fingertips is exactly the same. And yeah, I think it's a big, big mindset shift that's happening in the industry now about the way we think of agentic AI.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the other definitely takeaway for me was sort of business and technology almost being quite, what would we call it? Boundaryless in this world. And obviously, you know, JB's lived and breathed that because, you know, as he said, he's been in BI teams, he's talking regularly to pricing teams. But yeah, everything talked about, you know, with product owners and, you know, that the business, you know, leadership and strategy around data being quite pivotal.
Indeed. Brilliant. Let's leave it there. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do leave us a review wherever you download your podcast from. But thank you very much for listening to Microsoft Insurance Corner. We'll see you soon.
See you soon, everyone.